It's 11 a.m. on ABR, Apollo Bay Radio, coming to you from the most southerly village on the Australian mainland. And we're pretty excited today, aren't we, Jodie Anderson?
Very excited. Very excited. Cannot wait.
This is our first time.
Ever.
Isn't it?
Ever.
Yeah, ever, ever.
Ever. Mm,
this is it.
And it's thanks to Bob. He came up with this fabulous idea for us to have a monthly session.
The monthly Murrawarne.
What's happening up at the neighbourhood centre. So thank you, Bob, for coming up with the idea, because I think it's a brilliant one in terms of just being able to promote what's going on up there and have a chat to people that deliver programs up there or use the centre or have been involved in some sort of training. So today what we're going to talk about, why we're doing this, is to promote what's going on up there, but also to get people thinking about what they could do up in the centre and listen a bit about what's happening currently. So this morning we've got two guests. I'm very happy to say we've got, it's Neighbourhood House Week, rah, and it's all week, and it's National Volunteer Week, so it coincides together. So what we have done is we've put together a program for the whole week, ranging from another number of different activities, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But we have Mel from Otway Health, who's a volunteer coordinator, joining us this morning to talk about what she's organised. And we've also got Beck, our small business facilitator, coming to talk about what she does at the centre and also what she does out and about and around the community. So how does that sound, Bob?
Well, it sounds pretty action-packed. Murrawarne. Mm. So that's an Aboriginal name.
You're good.
And it means what?
Gathering of people.
Gathering of the people.
A gathering of families and people. And I should have really done the history of the Murrawarne and when it first started. But if someone would like to ring in and tell us, I'm sure people in our local community.
Bob's
saying no to that.
Doesn't work.
But we will
investigate that and get back to you about the history. Well, in fact, we'll do a whole little segment on the history of Murrawarne.
What a great idea, Bob.
Now, a new call of... You refer to it as up at the centre.
Yeah, well, it's sort of north of this community radio, isn't it? Like, it's block up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's just interesting the way
I always say that, don't I?
It's like the top pub and the bottom pub, you know. I mean,
yeah,
it's weird, but
beginning to sound like a local.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Up at the centre.
Up at the centre.
And you think of it as a centre. You think of it as...
Well, it's technically a neighbourhood house. And the lovely thing about the Neighbourhood House Association is we're one of 274. The Neighbourhood House Association is the... Victoria State is the only state that funds neighbourhood houses, so we're very lucky. We receive our funding from the state government, from Department of Health and Human Services.
Oh, thank God for the socialists.
God, we've got them. And the lovely thing is we have a neighbourhood house in Jellybrand, we have a neighbourhood house in Forest. And the lovely thing that people say, that once you've visited one neighbourhood house, you can honestly say every single one's very different. And they are very different in size, location, facilities, staffing. And the aim of a neighbourhood house is to bring people together, but also to look at what the community needs. And what I mean by that is that our facility here in Apollo Bay is a wonderful facility because we have something like 40 different groups that use the house.
40 different groups.
Yes, yes. And we have anywhere between 80 to 140 people in there a week. So
wow.
We have lots of different people using the centre, which is really good, with a really, really wide age variance. And I think for us, my challenge is to, one, make sure people know that they can use the centre. However, two is to make sure that if people are starting a community group or have a community group and they want to meet, that's your place. There is absolutely no charge because obviously we get funding from the government. If it is that you're running a commercial program or thinking of running a commercial course, you can actually use the centre at a very, very reasonable charge. And people use the centre or the neighbourhood house 7 days a week. So that's really encouraging. So the centre gets used quite often, over the weekend and also in the evening. So we can arrange any of that to make it happen, really. Yeah.
It's amazing when you think about it, if there are famously 100 and some community groups in Apollo Bay, of which you've got to think 30 are pretty, kind of just exist in name rather than practically.
Yes.
So you'd say, well over half of the active community groups in Apollo Bay are using marijuana in some way or other, you'd have to reckon.
You have to think about that.
How full is it? I mean, if you want to...
Well, I was just trying to help someone on Thursday. We have busy days. We have really busy days. So Fridays is a really good day. That's not as busy. Thursday, Wednesday, and Monday, Tuesdays.
Everyone wants to do community stuff on Mondays and Tuesdays, don't they?
I don't know why that is.
Well, because it's the start of the week. Yep. It gets it out of the way.
Yep.
And Fridays are busy with other stuff. Maybe you go shopping. Maybe you catch up with
your...
I don't know.
Because that's, Fridays, we only have one group using it, and it's lovely Gabby's choir group, and they come and sing in the morning, mm-hmm. which is absolutely beautiful to listen to. But outside of that, the centre's not used. So I think you're right, Bob. So Friday's the big day if you want to come and use it. But
we get a special discount on free for Fridays.
Free Fridays. I love it. You free Fridays. Yeah. No, but usually we have a number of rooms and they're all different in size. But if we could, you know, 9 times out of 10 accommodate you. Yeah. So we're very excited this year. We've actually established a computer lab with 6 computers. So we provide computer training, which is new for the centre. And we're really wanting to promote that and get people to use it.
Computer training for people that really aren't terribly conversant with, is it at different levels?
It is at different levels. At the moment, we've got lovely Sarah up there running a program on social media.
Yep.
And that's a 6-week course. And it's for people that want to become more confident with social media. So what we're always doing is trying to look for new programs. We've had a request to run a bookkeeping for small business, mm-hmm. and I'm just about to advertise that this week. So people come to me with a need. So we have a number of different programs in our computer lab. Mm. Also, we have how to develop a website, which has been really popular. If you're not really knowing a lot about computers, there's an intro to computer course coming up. And also, if you want to buy and sell on eBay or on your computer, Sarah's running a program. So we have a number of different programs, but I'm really trying to encourage people to come to me with whatever computer needs they might have, because we want to use that.
Yeah, well, certainly a big one would be getting the best out of your photographs on your iPhone or your Galaxy or whatever, because we all take them, and 8 times out of 10 you turn around to show them to your mum or your significant other and you go, oh, it's not a very good photo, but you can see just up there.
That's so true, Bob. I'm writing it down as you speak.
So a bit of photography help with getting the most, because they're actually quite good cameras mostly.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And that's the one, and the good camera is the one you've got, they say. You know,
it's
the
so true. I never thought of it.
Mm.
You could do my job.
But then what would you do?
Good question. See, I was silent.
Yeah.
I was silent. So let's talk about this week and what we're going to...
Okay. Absolutely. But I have one more question, because you say there are lots of other neighbourhood houses around, yes. and they're all different.
Yes.
Do they all get on with each other? Do they collaborate and share information and send, you know, say, oh, this course really worked for us, or this group? Does that work?
Look, it does work. I'm on the executive for the Barwon region, or the Southeast Barwon region, where we have 27 neighbourhood centres.
Mm.
And we are all so different that we all get along. And we get along because we are a sector that we're all non-profit organisations.
Mm.
And to get people to run programs is not easy. And so we share tutors or facilitators. We share marketing ideas. We share, we have a website. So we go on to the Barwon Neighbourhood Centre website and you'll see all the different centres and all the different programs and all the different ideas. And if you did go and have a look, you'll notice on the coastal neighbourhood houses have a lot of art.
Mm.
They have a lot of poetry and writing. They have a lot of health programs. If it's a neighbourhood centre, say in Melbourne, there'll be a lot of English-speaking programs. Mm. Quite diverse, but every neighbourhood house will reflect what the community needs are or what the needs of their local community are. But some really interesting ones, like for men, how to cook, for this centres that are running things like we're trying, I've actually put an ad in the local news sheet 2 weeks ago for how to sew, because people have said to me they'd like to know how to sew. So if someone comes and says that they want a particular skill or they'd like to share something, we usually put it in the news sheet to see if there's a wider need. But it would be fair to say that most neighbourhood centres would run computer programs, they would run programs around iPads, they would run programs around things like, I'm trying to think what the other programs we're running, they would be things like, and look at me, I'm busily about to open the program.
We could run a program on effective collaboration with local bureaucracies.
Oh, we could.
I'm serious. I mean, how do you effectively interact with the local council, the local health service, the local school? Mm. How do you, as a group of citizens, usefully and effectively understand what the service providers are meant to give and find ways to communicate that? That could be interesting.
That's actually very interesting. The other thing that I thought would be really interesting, because we've got so many community groups here, is a grant writing course, because we've got 139 groups. And I know at the moment Jack Donovan is doing a lot of work about getting a men's shed up in Apollo Bay, which is fabulous. And there's lots of people, community members that have been interested or getting behind that. So I think there are opportunities that are quite unique to Apollo Bay, and that is probably one.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Shall we... do you want to play some music?
Yes, please. I'd love.
A little bit of Uncle. So he's got a nice message for us too, fella. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Like a song with a message.
I love a song with a message. Yeah. What is it?
This is 3ABR. Open the Door to Your Heart, Van Morrison.
Open the door to your heart. Open the door to your soul. Get back in the flow. Open the door to your heart.
Open the door to your heart. So just sit with that thought for a minute, and Jodie's going to tell you about what's coming up at Murrawarne.
Well, I just love the way you played that song. It's just made my Monday morning, in fact. What I am going to talk about is what's happening this week for Neighbourhood House Week, because I think it's worth celebrating, because we celebrate the fact that we are diverse. We celebrate the fact that there are a million different people go to neighbourhood centres. But one of the
probably not an exaggeration at all,
is the lovely thing about neighbourhood centres is it wouldn't survive without volunteers, and volunteers do an amazing job in terms of helping neighbourhood centres remain open. We have a number of volunteers that do really... tasks that would make the difference in terms of having the centre open or closed. We have lots of people that volunteer their time to run programs. There's a whole range of things. So Mel and I decided that we would work together and put together a program. And the lovely thing is Mel's just about to walk in and talk about what we're doing. But before she talks about what she's up to, I'd like to talk about what's happening at the Centre for Neighbourhood House Week.
Yep.
And we tonight are organising an event at the RSL at 6:30, and it's to talk about the environment and our centre that's happening in our to talk about that, and that's from 6:30 till 7:30. Tomorrow morning we have a free class, and I thought that might be a great idea to have a free class with Sarah. So if anyone's got any computer questions, or they've got an iPad, or they've got a laptop that they're not too sure, or they want a bit of help, Sarah will be at the centre between 9:30 and 10:30 to answer any questions you might have re anything to do with technology. And on Wednesday, lovely Rachel Harmer has offered to run a program every month, and that commences this Wednesday. It's 11:30 till 12:30, and that's a meditation session, which will last for about 45 minutes, and then there'll be a lunch afterwards. And that's basically, we're hoping, Rachel and I have discussed that, and we're hoping, Bob, that that becomes a monthly occurrence for women that can come along, of course, no charge, but be together as a group and do some relaxation and go on a bit of a journey. And we think that's probably a lovely thing to do, especially now it's getting into the colder months. So that's what we've got. We've specifically organised through the Neighbourhood Centre, but Mel has put together the most amazing program for the week, and she just walked in, which is absolutely fabulous timing. So welcome, Mel.
Thank you.
So Mel's our volunteer coordinator, and she does an amazing job. And I just would probably, if it's all right with you, Bob, I'll play the role of you with Mel.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'll have a little rest.
Can you rest?
I'm very expert at resting.
Fabulous.
But you might like to introduce Mel properly and formally, but with a surname and a title and all that stuff.
Right. Yes. What's your official title?
My official title? I'm the volunteer coordinator.
And? You've got two roles.
I do have two roles. So, yeah, I'm the volunteer coordinator, but I also do home and community care.
A role as the volunteer coordinator?
Possibly about 18 months now.
Okay.
So, yes.
So can you tell us a little, was there someone in your role previous to you?
Yes, so it used to be Sally Forrester.
Yep.
That used to do the role. I sort of stepped in and was helping out for a bit there. And then I, went for the position.
Yep. How many volunteers does Otway Health have?
We've got just over 100.
100?
100, yes.
That's amazing.
So some are only doing occasional things, but we don't mind how frequently our volunteers volunteer, whether it's every week or whether it's once a year. We value all our volunteers.
And what sort of things do they do, Mel? Like what sort of tasks? Like what sort of areas do they work in?
So, of course, as I said, we've got lots of different areas. One of our main areas, of course, is the Second Stars Opportunity Shop. I think we've got about 38 volunteers down there. Yeah, so, and they do a marvellous job, which also helps raise money for Otway Health to provide service and that. But also it's they provide so much more than that just for the community.
It's a real social connection.
It's a social connection, so it's something for them as well that they can get to talk with other people, communicate with the town, get to know people, but also help those in need in the community as well. So, they help in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Jan does an amazing job. I went to an 80s party on the weekend and I needed something 80s, so she pulled it out. But I could pull off the big hair myself, but I actually needed something. So, no, Jan does an amazing job at the op shop.
And all the ladies, I think they quite often have people coming in for dress-ups and they're very helpful and they're quick to go, we could try this. And, they do a fantastic job down there, so we're very lucky to have them.
And, Belle, I just learnt a couple of weeks ago, I think it was you that told me, there's lots of women that do lots of ironing for the op shop.
Yeah, so that's a part of the our second sales ladies as well. So, of course, all the clothing that comes in, of course, has been bundled up in bags and it's creased and things. So to make it present nicer and hang on the shelves better, of course, we've got ladies that
are... And do they wash it as well?
Unfortunately, yes, some of the clothing does come in that needs to be cleaned. So, yes, they've got ladies that, again, will take washing home and clean it.
So they would spend hours doing that, do they?
They do, yes. Oh. So I said we're extremely lucky to have
them. What happens if the garments aren't or clothes aren't, you can't sell them? What happens to those?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of wastage clothes. Some, not wastage, but some of them will then be bagged up for rags.
Okay.
So people can come in and buy bags of rags.
Yep.
Some stuff then, of course, does have to go to the tip. So we've got some other volunteers that come along and help get rid of that wasted items that aren't good enough to sell. So, of course, we want quality items in the opportunity shop. We don't want things with holes.
So you don't think about that, do you? Like you wouldn't think there's people doing all that other stuff even in the op shop.
Yeah, so I said there's a lot that goes into making sure that, we've got quality clothes hung out.
Fabulous. And what else? We've
also got, of course, our gardeners who do, as you would know, the gardens at Otway Health always look absolutely gorgeous. So that takes a lot of work.
Can we especially name them? They're so beautiful.
Our volunteers?
Yeah, the gardener ones.
Well, we've got Bill who comes, which he'll hate me mentioning his name on the radio.
I know.
Bill comes in probably three times a week or more sometimes. But the likes of Barbara, Elsa, Helen... Ellie, We've got Angela. Darren still comes in and helps. He's actually one of our care workers, but he also comes and helps out with the garden at times as well. So I said they do a marvellous job in keeping the grounds looking beautiful. And it's lovely for the residents to be able to look out and see, you know, flowers and the garden's looking gorgeous, to be able to go and sit outside and have a cuppa when the birds are around and things. So,
and the lovely thing is they come up and have morning tea every Wednesday, so I feel very connected. And Mel runs up and makes them a beautiful morning tea. So they're gorgeous. Absolutely. What other types of jobs happen?
We've got our Friend in Hand massage program. So we've got volunteers that come in to aged care and do hand massage just with our residents for 15 minutes. It's just a way to connect, have a conversation, touch, which is lovely. We've got pet therapy. It's a bit short on at the moment, but so if there's anyone out there with some lovely dogs that would like to visit, our residents love seeing the animals come in. We've got...
I've got a mate with a budgerigar. Is budgerigars acceptable?
I'm sure they would love it.
Carolyn?
Sharon Crafter and I actually went up with our horses one day.
Oh, wow.
And went out into the... Yes, we did, yeah.
Did they love them?
Oh, they loved it. I think one of the residents would have been happy if the horse was sitting on her lap. Oh. They thought it was the biggest thrill. So
there's
we played
rabbits,
on doing that.
There's been rabbits, haven't there?
There has been rabbits, yes. Mm. So as I said, any animal, great and small, they love them. As long as they've got a good temperament and they're well trained. Mm. We definitely encourage to have some animals and... just also gives them a chance to reminisce about the pets and things that they've had as well in their lives, which is important. Yeah.
So, Mel, we've been busily... Oh, Mel's done all the work, of course. She's the clever one. In terms of this week, it's Volunteer Week, and I heard it being spoken about on one of the other radios. There are other radio stations. So it's actually a national week, and there'll be a million different celebrations happening, but Mel's worked really hard for our community this week to put together a fantastic program. So she's going to just tell you a little bit about what she's organised.
Yes. So... as we said, it's National Volunteer Week, but also being Neighbourhood House Week as well, we thought we would combine forces with some of these activities and try and get more people along. However, I do have a very special event, which is just for our volunteers tomorrow, which I'm very excited about, which is our Mad Hatter's Tea Party, which we've gone completely bonkers.
Mad.
In preparing that. And that'll be for all our volunteers down at the Bowls Club tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But to kick things off tonight, which is...
Wait a minute. The Mad Hatter's Tea Party, you will be taking photographs of each Mad Hatter.
Yes, definitely.
And you'll be posting them on Facebook.
Oh, Sally's going to, yes.
And there'll be a prize. There'll be prizes, I'm sure.
There's going to be all sorts of things happening tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're hoping people will wear hats, aren't we?
We're hoping so.
Well, it's a Mad Hatter.
Jodie and I are going to go a bit silly.
We're
dressing up.
What do you mean going?
Oh, we are mad. Sorry, Bob. Sorry. We are mad. We're there. No, it'll be lots of fun, won't it?
It will be fun. Yeah. So
sorry. I just wanted
to do something that was a bit fun, a bit silly, everyone to be able to relax, have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And, of course, most of all, you know, thank our volunteers who do a marvellous job. And we wouldn't be able to do so many other things in the community if it wasn't for these volunteers. So, you know, we really appreciate them. So I'd like to show them that tomorrow. But also tonight, if anyone's available, because I said this is to do with Neighbourhood House Week as well, we've got a conservation talk up at the RSL at 6:30 tonight. And we've got, it'll either be Jack, we still haven't heard exactly who the speaker will be, but either Jack Pascoe or one of his colleagues from the Ecological Lodge, which will just be coming along and doing a bit of a chat about the research and what they're doing out there. And, of course, the bar's going to be open as well. I think the RSL will have the bar open, so you could come along, have a drink and have a listen.
It always makes a talk a bit more interesting, doesn't
it? That's right.
We're providing lovely snacks.
And it's a chance to, you know, to meet up with some other people that you may not have met before. And then tomorrow we've got at Marawarn a computer and iPad introduction. So if you're having difficulty using your iPads or computers or just need a little bit of help on how to do an email or how to get on the internet... Sarah's going to be up there assisting us with that.
That'd be great.
And have you already spoken? I think you'd spoken about the meditation as well.
Spoken about the film.
So the meditation is on when is the meditation?
That's on Wednesday, at 11:30 at Marawarn.
11:30. And that's a ladies only event, or is it?
Yes.
No, that's I think that's a good thing. Yeah, absolutely. We can have a bloke's meditation another time.
Well, of course we can, Bob. You could lead that one.
Well, you know, they just fall asleep, blokes. They don't stay mindful and present. They just go...
And then, of course, on Wednesday in the afternoon at 1 o'clock, we're going to be showing a film called The King's Speech. Now, I still haven't watched this yet, I've heard fabulous
reports.
It's
a great film.
It's a beautiful film.
About this movie. So, yeah, we'll be screening that at 1 o'clock. So we've got limited seats for that because, of course, we don't have a huge theatre, unfortunately. Mm. But we still have spaces available for anyone who'd like to come along to that to give Otway Health a call, and we'll book you in to come along.
And you'll provide all that fabulous popcorn.
Yes, we'll have popcorn and, treats for, like you at the movies.
Yes.
So, and tea and coffee available as well. So we'll, look after you and make sure that you're comfortable and set you up to watch a lovely movie.
That's extraordinary. It's just a lot of stuff going on.
Well, Mel's done a lot of hard work with it, and it's such a credit to her because... As Mel rightly said, without volunteers, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things we do, and it's really important to recognise them. So throughout the week, we'll be taking lots of photos,
There will be lots of photos.
And we'll pop them up on the Facebook pages around the place. But we really encourage you to get involved in the activities and have a bit of fun with us.
All right. That's a good idea. So we play some more music?
Absolutely. Thanks. And thanks, Mel, for coming in.
Yes, Mel.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to meet
me.
You, and I'm sure you'll be back. Yeah. This is 3ABR program called the Murrawarn. What are we calling it?
I don't know.
The Murrawarn. A message from Murrawarn.
Oh, that's just a message from Murrawarn.
Did you get the
wild.
Message from Murrawarn? Oh.
What we'll call it, a message.
We'll have to have a think about it. We'll have a little competition.
Brains.
Name the program. Name the program.
Let's do that.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yes, put it in. Let Jodie know next time you're in at Murrawarn your idea for the name of this program, and we'll give it due consideration. This is 3ABR in Apollo Bay.
Talking about the big league, mama, daddy, back inside again. I mean them short, fat fannies back inside again. You ain't had no real good life from drinking, been lured by one of them.
Taj Mahal, Big Legged Women is back in style again. Great song. Hi, Jodie.
Hi.
Your radio program's here waiting for you. I've prepared it.
I was just saying how easy it is with Bob. I just think I'll have to bribe him every month. But I'm sure I can't do this on my own. He makes it very easy.
I'm more than happy to come in once a month and push your buttons.
Perfect. I'm not even going there with that. We are so lucky. We have another guest this morning. And now I'm nervous about introducing her because she's so clever.
Is it the Queen?
I'm saying, how will I introduce you, Beck? How? But then I forgot the most important thing because she specialises in writing wine lists of all beautiful, fabulous things.
Wow, what a great thing.
And I have not ever seen one of her wine lists, but I'm sure they're fabulous.
They're tasty.
Are they?
They're very tasty.
Rebecca, can you tell us a little bit about yourself first?
A little bit about myself.
Yeah, just what you do when you're not doing stuff for me, us in the community, and we'll talk a bit about that, but just what you do.
I guess first and foremostly, thanks for having me on here.
Of course.
Both of you with the smooth voices. No, in this capacity, I'm a small business coach. So it's a relatively new thing that I've started doing in the last couple of years. I love small business. I grew up in a small business family, have always worked and gravitated towards small businesses, mainly in the hospitality sector.
Did your dad have a small business?
He did, yes.
So
my
you
parents,
did grow up?
Yep. In the middle of it, in fact. He was a builder.
Okay.
We lived in 35 houses before I moved out of home.
Yay,
go girl.
My mum's an interior designer, so they would build and renovate around us.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchen was always super glamorous. Not.
So she's still an interior designer with her own business?
Yes.
You seriously have?
So
yeah.
Yeah. It's in my blood.
What's the
I've tried to go big, but I prefer small.
What's the name of your business, your small business?
I just operate under my name, Rebecca Melherb.
Consulting or coaching?
I do both, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Two quite different things.
Do you do it here, just here, or...?
Yeah, I've got a couple of clients in town. I've got an office in the main street, just above the sushi restaurant.
Fabulous.
Where the old Naughty Gals was.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll talk about, if people want to contact you, what's the best way of getting to you?
They can say hello by sending me an email. So hello@rebeccamelherb.com.
Great.
Or if that's a really difficult to spell name, which it typically is, you can contact Jodie and she'll put you in contact with me.
Listen, if you do any more of this, we have to sign her up for a sponsorship. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
It's getting dirty.
I mean, it's not the ABC, but this is a bit much.
Really? Yeah. Now, what do you do when you're in Melbourne? Talk about that. You actually have lots of clients in Melbourne as well, don't you?
My clients are on the Surf Coast and Otway Shire and also in Melbourne.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so Mel, we're very lucky to have her in this community. She's just recently come to do some work at Marawarn, which is the reason why I've invited her here this morning. Mel and I met just over at Chris... Oh, Mel, sorry.
Beck from Melbourne.
Oh, Beck from Melbourne. It's a Monday morning, for goodness sakes. Beck and I met at Christmas time, and we decided, a number of people had said to me that they were interested or wanting to do a small business program. And at that stage, our whole network in the state, there was no one doing anything like what we've come up with.
Right?
Yep. So we're the first. So we're the pilot in the state. So we secured what we called partnership money for Beck to actually write a program, which she busily did in January, didn't she?
It was a busy January, yes.
Yeah. So Beck quietly...
But it was a lot of fun.
Beavered away, didn't you? And wrote a program and we promoted it. And I always get really excited when there's six people in the room, really excited, but we had 12. So that was amazing. So we had 12 people for our small business program. And Beck was really clever because she rebranded it because Beck's got a marketing background as well. So Beck rebranded it as what was it? What was the name of the program?
Small Business Smarts.
Yeah.
Small Business Smarts.
Isn't that clever?
I do like it.
It's clever, isn't it?
Yep.
So what's happened with that program is that because we received funding for that, it was a pilot and we had to look at it and say what worked, what didn't. I think tick number one, what worked, there was 12 people in the room. So thank you for the 12 people that sat in that room. Thank you very much. Because it was a journey. We went on a journey for 6 weeks on a Tuesday night and it was a whole lot of fun. And I'm going to get Beck to talk about what her experience of the program and what her ideas were in terms of the program, because what had happened, it was... we decided at the start that we would let it evolve to a degree to find... we thought we would make sure the program evolved and it would take on its own life. And I think it did. And I think Beck's incredible ability to be flexible with the program and the people in it was the successful part, or one of the successful ingredients. So I'll get Beck just to talk a little bit about what you covered and how, you know, that journey...
Well, that would be an essential ingredient for small business because, you know, most folk are in a small business because they don't want to work for a corporation and they don't want to buy a franchise. So they're looking for tips and stuff that are relevant to them rather than a pro forma about how to actually behave, because they know 80% of what works. Otherwise, you know. Good night, nurse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting you say that because we actually commenced the course looking... We went pretty much around the group in a, you know, systematic fashion and asked everyone why they wanted to look at small business over being an employee. That in that discussion, we started pulling out all of the reasons, you know, the pros and cons of running your own small business from you get to go and pick your kids up at school at 3 o'clock if you've got some little ones, through to if you've got a sick day, there's no such thing as a sick day. You know, not getting paid for your holidays. You know, we looked at the reality of it, which just, I think you really hit the nail on the head, Jodie, when you said that we let it sort of evolve quite organically. We had a very clear structure of how we wanted, what we wanted to go through in each session, but we sort of allowed a little bit of room in that for it to move. And that first session really started off looking at the reality of small business, and particularly in a town like Apollo Bay. We were very conscious that we wanted the course to not be, a didactic delivery of information. It wasn't a lecture. It was supposed to be, space where people could come together. And I actually feel like that was the most successful part of the course, that people found... great benefit, I feel, in coming together every Tuesday night as a little bit of a team.
Yes.
somehow, you know, venting about the frustrations of small business, but also picking up lots of tips, not just from me, but their classmates.
That's right.
And from each other. And yeah. And loneliness can be, I mean, in small business.
It's lonely at the top.
Yeah. Well, and the bottom and in the middle. If
yeah,
you're beavering
you're
away
in small
on your
business,
own.
You're covering all of those roles.
That's right. And yeah. And a lot of it's just on the phone or in the on the web or dealing with your customer. So.
Yep. Yeah, and no. We had, what we found was we actually ended up having a bit of a 50-50 split between people who were more at the aspirational stage, wanting to start their small business, wanting to, you know, look for a little bit of a kick up the butt to get them, you know, to get their website registered and get their ABN registered and get started. And the other end of the spectrum, we also had a couple of, you know, already established businesses, like the guys from Hello Coffee. We had the guys from the gym. So there was a lot of sharing that went on.
Yep.
We've decided to run two spin-off courses, if I can talk about that
course,
now.
Course, please. That'd
yeah,
be great.
In the next semester at Murrawarne, and we've split it. So the first course is going to be a series. It's called Small Business Admin Workshops, and it's a series of four workshops that are designed for people who are already in small business. Mm. So we're not going to be talking about the contents of your small business. So, you know, how to be a better plumber or how to set up an online shop. We're actually going to be talking about the things that are common across all small business owners. We've identified four areas that pretty much came out of the last course. So that was time management, financial management, marketing and future planning. They all sound kind of dull when you read them
Actually,
out like that.
I was just thinking, they sound really dull.
They do sound dull.
Imagine time management. I don't even like it. That's really dull. But it will be exciting. Trust me, Beck makes everything really good. But I was sitting here thinking that sounds a bit dull. But
it does. But we really get to the nitty-gritty of it because essentially what I love most about small business ownership and operation is that it's so intrinsically linked into people's personal lives as well. So it's about how do we actually sort out your time so that when you get to have time off, you can enjoy it.
That's right.
You
That's
know
right.
that you've done the work that you need to do. So it's more actually about sort of, you know, organizing the rest of your life so that your business into getting the obstacles out of the way so you can enjoy your time off.
Yeah.
That's what the focus of time management is. And so we're actually talking about weekends rather than
working 24/7. Funny that. Yeah, yeah. So I think that will be really a great program, and it's going to be one night a week, and the dates, Beck's just putting in front of me, isn't she good? The dates will be
runs from the 6th to the 27th of June.
Thanks.
So a month from now.
Great. 5 till 8 o'clock. So if you're interested, please just give us a ring on 5237 8590. That'd be great. And the second one, Beck?
And that's on the website too?
Yes.
On the Murrawarne website.
So where that course is focused on people who are up and running and wanting to take a little bit of time out from the day-to-day operation of their business and get a bit of space and perspective on it. The next course is actually going back to the basics of how to set up a small business. So as the big thing Jodie and I have in common is our interest in looking at overall vision and how important it is. So we start right at the beginning. We look at where did you get this idea from? What's kind of rocking your boat about it? We look at how you can monetize that. So the difference between a hobby and a business. Because if you're going to step into business, you have to start paying registration fees and all those boring little invoices. So we start looking at how you can turn that into something fabulous that kind of, you know, meets all your dreams for running your own business.
Somebody, it was really interesting, I was talking to someone about turning your passion into profit.
Yep.
And they said, yeah, well, that's all good and well, but if you're not careful, you can destroy the passion because of the money. You know, that there's a balance around that. And if you can, you know, if you can build and make and sell guitars at your own pace and then put a few $1,000 in your pocket every time you sell one, well, that can be a nice thing.
Yep.
But then if you get an order for 7... and they need them in 3 weeks.
That's a
whole other, you know, then your passion is not, you're not, you know, making that beautiful thing anymore. You've got to get these seven guitars,
you know, and you're off looking for a new hobby of things to do on your time off.
You're going slightly crazy. So it's a really interesting thing to think about.
I think it's a good thing to start with too. Yeah. I think you're spot on there. I think it's a really good idea to sit down and work out, you know, maybe you could do a job that pays you some money and you can still sit and play with making guitars and really enjoy it and keep the passion there.
That's right.
I certainly did that with a florist business. I always loved florists, flowers, and I ended up setting up a florist, and now I don't really have flowers on my table so much anymore. Not at all. I knocked it out.
Yeah. whereas on the other hand, the Hello Coffee guys.
Yep.
I mean, yes, they certainly
have. They still drink coffee.
They certainly have a passion for coffee, and certainly Gareth in particular certainly drinks coffee. However, I suspect, just sitting here now, that their passion is not, in fact, coffee. I mean, it's part of it, but their passion is people.
It's very obvious.
They're actually interested in their fellow community members, and that stays, you know. And if you're busy, it just means you get involved with more people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've digressed. Now.
It's
so true, Bob. I was just thinking about what you're saying, and it's become quite a point where people go for coffee in this community down there, and there's a lot of social connection.
Absolutely.
Which is just really fabulous for a small town.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes back to what I was saying about small business. That's what I love about it. It's not this, you know, it's not this big business is a...
It's a whole
most
other
thing. Of the time it's about your bottom line. It's got to be about bottom line in small business, but there's usually so much more around it.
Sure.
There's usually... Yeah. Lifestyle, there's usually, you know, connection to community. People don't usually put this in their, you know, vision and mission statements, but,
maybe that should be in your vision and your mission statement.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of that, don't we? We did that in the last course. Yeah. We really looked, we asked people to dig a bit deep. Look at why you're doing it.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like really interesting courses.
Yeah, thank you.
So I just want to follow up on that. Beck did challenge people in the program and said, dig a bit deep. And it did talk about, and people had that conversation and there was a connection within that group, which was just so lovely to watch and be involved in. And as a result of that program, we've come up with the idea of having a small business network.
Uh-huh.
And that network is about supporting people in small business or wanting to start a small business, because it is isolating, isn't it?
It can be. Yeah.
And so one of the ideas that we're going to start in the next month is to have a guest speaker once a month up at Marawarn, talking about an element of small business, and then just a networking opportunity where people could have a glass of wine, have a chat, talk about what's going on in their business, and just have a bit of a,
it's basically a chin wag.
Yeah, really.
And this will all be auspiced and funded and catered by the Chamber of Commerce, of course.
Of course.
The Apollo Bay Chamber of Commerce. Of course. If anyone's listening out there, it's a great opportunity.
Yes.
For the Chamber to demonstrate its capacity and reach out to new starting businesses.
Yes.
Some of the more existing guys. And one of the things, I mean, I'm very serious about this. One of the things that I love about having students and people that are interested is they ask you first principle questions. And some of those people that have been running their businesses for 20 years, you know, if you get someone asking the really basic questions, it just reminds you of why you're doing things and what, you know, and gives you the opportunity to share all the mistakes you made and how you arrived.
Learning
that way. Anyway, just a thought.
That's a great idea, Bob. I didn't actually even think about that.
Yes, the Chamber might be very helpful.
Thank you. You put a seed in my head. That's terrific.
There you go.
So Beck will be involved with us in terms of at Marawarn running programs, and what we'll continue to do is they will continue to evolve, and that will continue. We're on a journey, really, aren't we?
Yeah, we want to make sure we continue to deliver really relevant, helpful programs for people.
Mm.
And as a result of Beck's program, we've come up with a social media course, which Sarah's running as we speak, because it was a need that came out of that course. And so it's interesting that once we get people into the centre, Bob, people go, oh, I need this, or I need to have this, or I should be doing that.
Yep.
And for us, that's that's getting to the heart of what neighbourhood centres are all about. So we're really excited, and Beck's very talented. So I think she could pull off nearly anything. So as part of our journey, we'll just keep rocking. But I think the idea of getting the Chamber of Commerce involved is brilliant. So
okay.
Thank you, Bob.
We have 7 minutes to go.
Are we going to play a song?
Shall we have a little music,
yes,
and then
please,
come back?
Okay, please.
This is 3ABR, the Murra Warn program. And maybe a little Jimmy Buffett, I think. Yeah, why not?
Now I don't know